back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 314. As this week we bring you the second hour of WWF Royal Rumble 1991. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I'm joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Mr. Jim Valley. As we record this, it is Friday, September 11th. Jim Valley is still in the ICU. He, in fact, is celebrating his 11th anniversary with his wife, Carrie, while he's in the ICU. We certainly hope we get Jim back with us in the near future, and we want to thank everybody, even the people who don't normally listen, who have given their thoughts and prayers to Jim and to Carrie, and we can't wait to have Jim back. Guest hosting with us again this week is Ken Banks of Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine, our sponsor. Ken, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1991, an era where the United States only feuded with other countries and not itself?
Yeah, I think I'm literally as ready as any man can be.
All right, so we're going to get here. Okay, here's the problem here. I did this wonderful script with all the things that were happening at that day and time in 1991, and of course my computer ate it. So we're going to go ahead and try it anyway. Okay, so on January 19th, 1991, let's see, the top movie in the country for the 10th straight week, I want to say, it was Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin and Joe Pesci. That thing lasted forever.
Mm. I thought that was an 80s movie. That was from the 90s.
That was 1990 that it came out, actually.
Okay. I guess that is the 90s. Yeah. All right.
So, technically 1990 was in the 90s. let's see. The top news story, January 19th, 1990. I think you had two of them to choose from. One of them was Eastern Airlines finally going under after being in bankruptcy for 2 years. This was a major airline. It was a big deal for people my age when that happened.
I understand. You hate to see it.
You hate to see it, but it did happen. Also, I want to say it going on at the same time. The Gulf War was starting up, and I want to say the Iraqis bombed Tel Aviv. That sounds right.
Yeah. And then somewhere a wrestling promoter thought, hey, how can we exploit this?
Yes. Literally there were bombs dropping. Literally Desert Storm had started 2 days before this show. Your New York Times bestsellers, 1991, January 19th, 1991, in fiction department, The Plains of Passage by Gene M. All. I'll just read from the blurb. The experiences of a couple on a trek on horseback across Europe in the Ice Age. How did I miss reading that? I don't know.
Was that a choose-your-own-adventure book?
I don't think so.
I was really into choose-your-own-adventure books.
Yeah. It was not. Nonfiction, A Life on the Road with Charles Kuralt. By Charles Kuralt. Okay.
Bet that wasn't dry at all.
No, it was lovely, I'm sure.
Yes. I'm sure it was.
All right. Charles Kuralt, touring the country in a camper. Anyway. Oh, let's see. The number one song in the country was something by Janet Jackson. I probably could just leave it at that, but no, I'm gonna go look it up. Meanwhile, in sports, so we were coming up on Super Bowl 25, and Super Bowl 25, you'll recall, this is the week between the Super Bowl, between the playoff games and the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl for Super Bowl 25, two teams that wore red, white, and blue: the New York Giants and the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Giants, led by the great runner Otis Anderson, or O.J. Anderson, as they used to call him before O.J. became not such a good word anymore. And of course, the Buffalo Bills had Jim Kelly, great quarterback, best known for having a one-night stand with Missy Hyatt. And what else was that? Oh, yeah, had losing four straight Super Bowls, yeah. But this was the first one, but we didn't know that was going to happen yet.
Yeah, it was also the off season for baseball in January, but the Boston Red Sox were already statistically eliminated from playoff contention.
Well, there you go. Also, let's see, I believe the San Antonio NBA action, the San Antonio Spurs defeated the Denver Nuggets, 117-109, 28 points for the Admiral, David Robinson. That guy, by the way, he was pretty good. I just thought you'd like to know that.
I've heard things, yeah.
Yes. All right, I'm going to find this. I'm going to find this song that I've, let's see. It wasn't a song that I remembered. So, and usually cool rockin' DJ Jim Valley helps me out when I don't know some of these songs, because he did a lot of top 40. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that. As many of you know, we're available on Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And you're saying to yourself, Pat, you know, the show is free. Why would we need to join a Patreon? Well, I'll tell you, and Ken will tell you too. For as low as $4.50 a month, you get access to all of the episodes of Wayback Playback, including the ones from when we were behind the paywall, which were not previously available. And our new episodes, you get them in advance, and you get them without commercials. Ken, isn't that valuable?
Ken? That is absolutely valuable, Pat, especially for, you know, for somebody like you and somebody like Jim Valley, two guys that worked so hard on this for so long. It's a pittance, really. They're not asking for much.
Yes. Now, those of you on our Black Scorpion tier, we do bonus material for. For example, Ken and I just recorded the first part of a bonus episode, which we're creating, WWF Superstars from 1992. And who wouldn't want to hear our opinion of the Legion of Doom taking on Dwayne Gill and Barry Hardy?
You are not going to want to miss that, folks. Good Lord.
Mm. Yes, and also we are getting down to the last set of episodes that we have to put up, and then we'll have all of them up here. Just put up WCW Starrcade 1999, episodes 108 through 110, which not only featured, one of the god-awful wrestling shows that led to the death of WCW, but we also had a run-in with from our good friend, the Disco Inferno, Glenn Gilberti, explaining the terrible angle that he was in and how he nearly got suffocated and died because of the stupidity of WCW. So that was good.
Disco, poor guy.
He's doing okay now. Plus, we did a bonus. Let's see, with a patron bonus match Ken and I did from a Ring of Honor show in 2002. We got we got Starrcade 90 up with the Black Scorpion, and you know, people on our fans love the Black Scorpion. Some people love him irrationally. In fact,
I've been saying for years that nobody has enough Black Scorpion in their life. Truly,
that's
there's
true.
Always room for more Black Scorpion.
Black Scorpion's like Jell-O. Also, if you missed us doing the 1998 Royal Rumble, which was the big launch of Stone Cold and had Mike Tyson there, you'll want to be a part of that. We're going to be putting up the very special Christmas episode that we did a few years back, episode 68, a Mid-South Christmas, where we also did the Wrestle Rock Rumble for the first time. And I know. All
happy,
sorts of memories.
Happy holidays, folks.
And, and we'll be wrapping up, and this week we're going to be putting up Wrestle Rock itself. And that was incredible 4 hours that Jim and I did. So if you miss Jim, if you want more Wayback Playback, if you want bonus material, there's multiple tiers. Check it out. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. While we're waiting for that to come up, let's go ahead and get back to the show. I'm at 55 minutes and 35 seconds. We have a wide shot of the ring here at the Miami Arena. Ken, are you also there?
I am there, my friend.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, it's the moment you've been waiting for, the U.S. versus Iraq, the Gulf War battle of, let's see, oh goodness, I just screwed that up. Okay, I'm a little bit behind now, but don't worry about it, fans, you're good.
We'll figure it out.
I accidentally turned on the closed captioning, and here we go, representing the great nation of Iraq, General Adnan Al-Kasi leading Sergeant Slaughter to the ring.
You know, I'm just throwing this out there. This is a real hot take, Pat. Maybe if there's some sort of conflict going on and soldiers on both sides of the conflict, as well as innocent civilians, are losing their lives, maybe that's something you don't turn into a wrestling angle.
You think?
I just, I know it's crazy. That's probably a controversial take, but just saying. Something to think about.
I mean, there was a long history in pro wrestling of having Nazi villains and Russian villains and all sorts of villains that reflected contemporary society, blah, 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 and other nations that we didn't like. So.
Yeah, but this was 1991. It was the future.
Oh, yeah. Definitely the future going on here.
Yes. Look at the clothing out in the audience.
Look at them calling Sergeant Slaughter Gomer Pyle, which is what they were doing, which is what they did to him back in the 80s when he was feuding with Bob Backlund.
As this episode of Way Back Playback will be dropped in 2020, how many people do you think know who Gomer Pyle is that are listening?
Well, golly! Gomer Pyle was a character from the Andy Griffith Show created by Jim Nabors, who got his own spinoff, Gomer Pyle USMC. Oh, and the number one song was Love Will Never Do Without You by Janet Jackson.
Yep, I know that one.
Okay, The Warrior, oh my goodness. I don't know how they missed him twice with that flagpole, but they did.
Yes, seriously.
All right, The Warrior wearing the red, white, and blue. Warrior pummeling Adnan.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. He's damaging the Iraqi flag. He's desecrating the Iraqi flag, the sacred flag of Saddam Hussein and blah, 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 blah. And ripping it in half. Well, that's okay. Iraq didn't count anyway. All right, and they're getting out of there. They're quitting. No, Adnan's leaving. Slaughter's there. Okay. And upside the head. And that's a disqualification, hitting him upside the head with a flagpole, isn't it? Isn't that, Ken?
It really ought to be.
Oh, never mind. This is referee Earl Hebner. He's terrible.
He's just going to let it all go. Okay.
Yeah. I guess this is a no DQ. Whatever. All right. Oh, he's going to shove the flag down his throat.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah. There we go.
This would totally not fly today. Fortunately, though, after this Gulf War, that was the final conflict we had of any kind in Iraq. So
you know, it would be like, I'm trying to think of a modern thing. It would be if like WWE had a faction that was like FIFA and wore black masks and went around protesting and destroying things and beating people up. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about anything like that today.
Fortunately, they're not tasteless anymore. And yes. Sergeant Slaughter barely got up for that back body drop. Yeah. That could have ended badly.
Yes. Yeah, that could have ended very badly. Actually, I'm kind of amazed we haven't had they haven't done a war between like a woke faction and a red hat faction, for want of a better term.
You know, with
like AJ Styles and Randy Orton leading the red hats and Daniel Bryan leading the wokes and, you know. That would be something.
That's right. You know what? If they're going to do something like that, they might as well go with like their own version of the Flat Earth Society. Mm. And AJ Styles can head that up because apparently he believes in a flat Earth, I've been told.
There's something about that. I don't know. Well, I think AJ doesn't think the science is all in on that one. Somehow.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, AJ goes, you know, I'll believe it when I go up in a spaceship and see it. You know, I don't know.
You know what science is all in on, though, Pat?
Pet care.
I was going to say the Ultimate Warrior's body.
Oh, that's true. But, science has a lot to do with that. There goes Sensational Sherry now interferes. And the Warrior's going to chase Sherry all the way.
Well, where did he come from?
Randy Savage, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah, and he's got the lady. Oh, yeah, that got hurt.
Is the referee able to see this? Or
The referee is distracted by Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, yes, he is. Okay.
And as a result, he's not making the count.
Hmm.
Oh, now he's going to make the count. Well, there's no way Warrior's going to make it back to the ring and beat that count. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
Certainly not.
I mean, that's a count-out victory here for... So they're going to have to...
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
No. They're going to have to disqualify Sarge for putting his hands on a referee, right? And now Earl has to start counting all over just because Sergeant Slaughter grabbed him.
It really is unfortunate how that works.
Yeah.
Like, did Earl forget on his own? Like, does he need the repetition of starting from number one?
Yes, he
does.
Is
it like that?
Yeah. Okay, so now he's shoved the ref three times. But I guess there's no rules in this match, so.
Sure has.
The Warrior, because he is so smart, is going to crawl back into the ring and, oh, good grief. We're chanting for the USA.
Of course they are.
Now,
when I think of American pride, I think of Jim Hellwig.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Nope, again. Oh, Sarge is going out after him. Okay. All right, so we're back in the ring and the match continues. Now, I don't know of anybody in 1991 who thought for 1 second that they were going to put the title on Sergeant Slaughter.
I was actually just about to ask you if you remembered what the temperature was, so to speak. Like, were people in the industry
I don't know what people in the industry were, you know, were predicting. I didn't, you know, it was a couple more years before I would subscribe to the Torch, but I just, you know, I couldn't imagine that they, you know, if they're going to do WrestleMania, I mean, everybody thought WrestleMania 7, they're going to do the rematch between Hogan and the Warrior.
Right. I mean,
they've got the Coliseum, you know, they got the stadium to fill in Los Angeles. And they're gonna, yeah, and Hogan and Warriors rematch is you know, that's got to be the biggest match they can put on there. Guess not. But yeah, they weren't selling tickets, and you know, that's I think where we got the idea of doing the U.S. and Iraq in the main event, and you needed Hulk Hogan, and I guess Warrior wasn't drawing as well as they'd hoped. So
it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. I mean.
But don't worry, when they finally had their rematch in WCW, it lived up to all the expectations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Outstanding stuff. Oh, underneath we go. Oh, double clothesline. Both men are down.
It's amazing what happens when Pat Patterson isn't around to outline a match for you.
Yep. Well, it's kind of the same. But, I mean, the Warrior, you know, yeah, I mean, if you were a WWF fan, you probably believed Warrior was just about unbeatable at this point.
That's true.
I mean, you know, his last major loss, I want to say, Rick Rude at WrestleMania 5.
Oh, that's right. I was wondering. Yeah. You're just answering all the questions before I asked them.
I'm sorry.
No, it's very prescient of you. I was wondering if he had suffered a pinfall loss yet.
WrestleMania 5, Bobby Heenan held his leg under the ropes and Rude pinned Warrior, and Rude won the Intercontinental title. So, yeah.
Remember that, man. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, there we go. Turn around, ref. Nope. Oh, the bear hug. Well, of course, Sergeant Slaughter's bear hug is known for conquering many, many opponents. Actually, I can't think of a single one, so never mind.
Maybe somebody in Mid-Atlantic a long, long time ago.
But if he had used the Atomic Noogie on the Ultimate Warrior, that would have destroyed him.
Oh, yeah. He would have won the title in the opening 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Spoiler alert. Is the bear hug the stupidest move in wrestling history?
No, but it's... I mean, if you have a huge guy who's picking up the little enhancement guys and doing the bear hug on them, you can say, yeah, okay, maybe.
Right.
But, you know, the odds of the Ultimate Warrior getting taken out with a bear hug or Hulk Hogan or, you know, you've noticed that they've stopped doing this in wrestling.
Yes.
The bear hug as a potential finisher. I mean, you would need a guy who's huge who's facing a guy who's not huge to just pull that off.
Right.
It's a wrestle. That's, you know, and it depends on how well it depends on how well you work the hold. And I mean, look at all the pain that Warriors look at the pain etched on the face of the Ultimate Warrior, Ken.
Oh yeah, absolutely, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to do the big ear clap?
Yes, I certainly hope so.
I certainly hope so, too.
How can you not do the ear clap to break up the bear hug? Oh, no. He's pumped. He's jacked. He's that's a good one, the double chop. Actually, I like that.
All right.
I'm cool.
That's
I'm
better
cool
than
the double
the ear
chop, yeah. Oh, and his back just, and his back is bothering him. See, that part makes sense.
It does make sense.
You know what? He's been hard, he's working over the back, and, you know, suddenly Warrior's back is hurting. And it's setting up for what is Sarge's finishing move at this time, the camel clutch.
And the crowd is super hot for this, too. They really are.
Yeah, they are, because nobody likes Slaughter in this run, you know, as especially him being an Iraqi.
Yeah, he's a tough heel to cheer for, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Nobody likes him in this run. Nobody wants to see him, you know, like Sergeant Slaughter as a champion. That's ridiculous, yeah. There we go. Yes, I mean, Slaughter was getting Slaughter in the summer of 1990 was pretty much the end of the AWA because he was the last really marketable guy they had.
Sure. So,
yeah. But Warrior's feet are under the ropes. It should be a break here.
I'm going to say, how in the world is this a legal hold?
Well, I guess Earl Hebner's not capable of seeing. Oh, there we go. Yeah, this is Earl Hebner. No.
Now, you were talking about the last star of the AWA. Is Larry Zbyszko still AWA champion?
Well, 30 years later, yes, he is. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. No, the last, like, new episode of AWA, Larry Zbyszko, you know. I think they suspend Larry Zbyszko, and Larry Zbyszko's like, yeah, fine, I quit, and that was it. But yeah, Larry Zbyszko's the champion, sure. Okay. Somebody named Dale Gagner, you know, changed his name to Dale Gagne and tried to restart the AWA, and it wasn't the same AWA, obviously.
I remember that nonsense, yes. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, the AWA was done. They kept their commitments by, you know, they did like a whole year of just showing classic AWA matches. Mm. Yeah, well, that's from Christmas of 90 to the summer of 91, and then, you know, then nobody, yeah, they didn't bother trying for another season. Okay, there's Sherry. Sherry's back. And Warrior, of course, decides, well, you know, yeah, that getting hold of Sherry is more important than fighting Sergeant Slaughter for the title.
Yeah, baby faces are so dumb.
Well, in the Warrior's case, you know, he was Sting's tag team partner, so he's excused.
No, yeah. It's an excellent point. Be careful where you're dressing, Warrior.
Well, there we go. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go. Nice catch by Randy Savage. Yep. This is, once again, Sherry taking enough bumps for any two guys in the match. Oh.
She was such a good worker.
Oh, she was incredible. Oh, look at this. And everybody remembers this.
Warrior's going to get a reprieve here on the... Oh, no, I was wrong.
Yep. Randy Savage breaks the scepter over the Ultimate Warrior. And takes off. I don't think the referee saw that. Yeah, really? Sarge
Roddy
drops
Piper, always excellent on commentary. Big elbow drop, and that does it.
Sarge has the title. And there's nobody cheering the heel winning the title. There's one kid cheering the heel winning the title. Yeah.
I'm guessing a young Hulk Hogan fan?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, Hulk's getting the title back. Yay! They're not going to allow this. Somebody's going to come out and reverse the decision. No, of course not. This is wrestling.
Yeah, you see that happen a lot.
Yeah. And the fans are cheering for Hogan.
Mm. So with the delay of the announcement, are they trying to tease that Slaughter might have been disqualified?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yeah. Gorilla and Roddy are trying to say, well, there's got to be a disqualification. I mean, didn't there be somebody who saw this? And yeah. All right. And Howard Fink has to announce. Yeah, that Sarge is the new WWF champion.
There you have it.
And the crowd is not happy. Yep, boo. Yeah, like that guy who looked like Harvey Whippleman's very upset.
Yeah, he really did look like Harvey Whippleman.
Little kids flipping off the Sarge. Yay. Now, I mean, really they dropped the ball in not having some, like, Arabic music going on here.
Yeah.
Well.
It's okay. They were going to get all the heat they needed when they decided to burn an American flag.
Except they didn't. They got tired.
Yeah. Cooler heads prevailed there, thankfully.
Yep. Roddy's going off. It took three people. Yes, it took Savage and Sherry and Slaughter. What an outrage. Now, you notice that they immediately forget that Randy Savage is supposed to get a title shot at Sergeant Slaughter. All right. Oh, here we go. 93,173.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to break that
They're
in L.A.
They're going to break that in L.A.
Yep.
WrestleMania. Yep. World indoor attendance record. WrestleMania 7. They're still saying the Coliseum.
100,000 screaming fans.
Yeah. They never did. They still haven't got 100,000 fans. They came close in Dallas at WrestleMania 32, but still haven't done it. Now, I mean, if they get that stadium in LA, they can probably get a, I don't think it's supposed to hold 100,000. I guess if you're watching pro football tonight, Sunday night, we get to see the new stadium in Los Angeles, which is supposedly where they're going to hold WrestleMania 37.
So, that's exciting.
Yep. I mean, there'll be nobody in attendance, but that doesn't matter. Okay. Oh, look at the fans. They're going bananas.
That woman just had a shirt undone and showing off her bra.
Well, hey, for 91, I mean, that's, you know.
I'm not approved. Whatever makes her happy, stood out to me.
But this is a PG show. So. Now, look at that. Oh, the bird. They're doing the bird. You know why? Because it's time for the match to bring the crowd back up after that horrible whatever.
How would you like to follow that as a wrestler? Good God.
Well, Coco Beware's like, I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid. I'm on a pay-per-view. I'm getting paid. Getting paid.
That's very true.
And you got the Mountie.
Is Coco Beware still active somewhere on the indie scene?
I don't know. I don't think I've heard of him wrestling for like at least 3 years.
Okay.
I did get to work a show he was on.
Okay. So did I.
He did not have a bird with him. But it's still Coco Beware, you know?
I was in a battle royal with him, and he punched me a few times in the face.
Oh, I was in a battle royal once. Fortunately, it was one of those things where the ring ropes were low enough that as manager, get in there. Like, I'm supposed to get in there. You know, it's like a Royal Rumble, and the only guy left in there when I arrive is like, you know, this 280-pound Brock Lesnar wannabe. So I get in the ring, the guy turns around, I throw myself out over the top rope. Which,
that's the safest way to do it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's, yeah, not messing around. All right. Coco Beware against the Mountie. This is definitely the time where everybody's going to the bathroom and getting snacks.
Yeah. You see a lot of empty seats right now.
Yep. Hey, but it's Coco, man. You got to enjoy it for what it is.
Coco had a hell of a career, man.
Yeah, he did. Everybody.
Journeyman.
Everybody
that guy went.
Get down. He was everywhere. The Birdman's in town. Bird.
I loved him as a heel in Memphis. He did, like, really good stuff as a heel.
Yep, but, I mean, this is this is what people remember for. This is what people remember him for.
Well, this is probably paid. This is what paid for his house too. You know, not his Memphis payouts.
This is back in the days when you could afford a house on wrestling payouts.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah. Don't unionize or anything, guys. You know. Don't organize.
Whatever you do.
Whatever you do, you know, the company's making, you know, company's making money hand over fist, but, you know.
Yeah. I wonder if Coco has a Twitch channel.
Hey, that'd be something.
Is he allowed to use it under a Legends contract? Or
wasn't he Coco Beware before this?
No. He was Coco Ware, right?
Something like that, yeah. I guess it depends on if WWF or WWE kept up the trademark. Mm. They let stuff lapse, oftentimes when they shouldn't have.
That's true.
You would think that they would hold on to every bit of intellectual property they had.
A few years ago, I actually wanted to buy the trademark to IcoPro.
Ah,
and I'm not making that up. I saw that it had expired and I wanted to purchase it. And I was like, Ken, what in the hell would you ever do with this?
You'd make IcoPro shirts.
I guess I'd make IcoPro
shirts. Banners. When they did the retro Raw from the Manhattan Center. They had, and they brought back the IcoPro banner and put it there. That was a nice touch.
Oh, that's tremendous. It's absolutely tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Oh, let's see. There we go. Oh, and out he goes. Oh, no.
Whoops.
Up, over, and out goes Coco Beware.
He still got ups, man.
Yep. Jacques Rougeau, tremendous, be a tremendous wrestler, I'm going to say. Yep.
A huge, huge star in his native country.
Yes. All right, and there's Jimmy Hart wearing his...
Jimmy Hart?
Wearing his Jimmy Hart jacket, yeah. I don't think he's even got... we see his Mountie... We saw his Mountie jacket on the bonus stuff we did for Patreon this week. But not here. He's still got a plain Jimmy Hart jacket. As much as any Jimmy Hart jacket could be a plain Jimmy Hart jacket.
That's a very good qualification, yes.
I mean, I love Coco's gear. You got the bird on it, you know. Yeah. And about a year, you know, I want to say late in 91, don't we get High Energy? Or is that later? That might be a couple years from now that Coco and Owen Hart are the team of High Energy.
Yeah, I remember them. I can't remember the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. No. I don't know what. Okay. Yeah, nobody's racing to get back to their seats, you'll notice.
The commentators keep talking about how the Mountie has learned these crowd control techniques.
Right, because that's what the Canadian Mounties are known for.
Yeah.
Wait, like, what?
Do the Mounties really do well?
Well, you know, they gotta keep the when they're fighting off a crowd of elk. I don't know what the Mounties do.
I haven't heard a whole lot of complaints about Mountie brutality.
You really haven't.
No,
Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Let me look that up here. I'm going to have to go through my Due South DVDs and see if I can get anything from that.
That's right.
Yes, Royal Home of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Oh, okay. Let's see.
I'll just fire up an episode of Letterkenny. It'll tell me everything.
Perfect, yes. Okay. They're the Federal and National Police Service of Canada. Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. But except for, well, they don't do policing in Ontario or Quebec. Okay.
Do they carry a cattle prod?
I don't. Matter of fact, they are no longer mounted police. They only use horses for you know, they only do horses for ceremonies. They don't use them. They don't actually patrol on horseback.
That's probably for the best.
You would think, yes. Oh my goodness! So, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot of Mounties they have.
Well, I can imagine. There's a whole lot of maple syrup to protect it.
Really? I don't know that. Let's see. Frontline policing under the... Okay. Let's see. Okay, yeah. Unusually large breadth of duties, blah, blah, blah. Enforcing federal law, including commercial crime, counterfeiting, drug trafficking, border integrity, organized crime, counterterrorism, domestic security, providing protective services for the Canadian... Oh, wow. They're like the Secret Service. Wow, they do a lot of crap. None of which involves a cattle prod, as near as I can tell.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Support units include, the investigations include major crimes, homicides, forensics, collision forensics, police dogs, emergency response teams, explosive disposals, and undercover operations. Okay.
Good Lord.
Wow. You guys got, let's see, controversies. What controversies? Hold on. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see, folks, the Wayback Playback can be both hilarious and informative.
Okay, let's see. I don't know. Yeah, there was a police brutality scandal involving the Mounties in Alberta in March.
Okay.
Yes, somebody was a Native Canadian, I can't say Native American, was arrested and... there's video of him getting punched in the head.
Oh.
Not killed, punched in the head by the Mounties.
So that's police brutality in Canada.
Yep. Yes. And Justin Trudeau said, we've all seen the shocking video and we must get to the bottom of this.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
God, they're adorable and so wonderful
Canadians.
People.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. We love you, Canada. We know there are Canadian listeners. We were back on the Canadian charts. Matter of fact, we went up the charts in the U.S., Canada, and Great Britain this past week on Apple Podcasts. And thank you very much for that.
How are we doing in the Philippines?
Not so well. No. We went down in India. Oh, Jimmy Hart. He got distracted and went after Jimmy Hart.
Come on, you had the pin there, Coco.
Yeah, I don't get it. This is not a good night for baby facing, you know?
It really isn't.
Yep.
But he's firing up now. He's got all the momentum. Mm.
Roddy's yelling at him to hook the leg. Thanks, Roddy. Roddy's all over this. Don't worry. Miss.
Yep.
Up, leapfrog. What was that? That was his version of the Boss Man Slam, I guess. I don't know. A choke lift? Well, okay.
That was a hell of a match.
That was something.
Hell of a match to follow the big title change.
Yep. Yeah. There was nothing wrong with the match except it followed that. Oh, there's that one guy. And Larry Bud Millman appreciates the bounty, so that's great.
Pretty sure that whoever that man was, he's probably dead by now.
Well, we don't know that, but it seems like. No. Oh, and Sean Mooney is standing by with Randy Savage. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's your fault. It's your fault, Randy Savage. Yeah. So is he? Yeah, he's the Macho King, and you know he's a king. But, well, he doesn't have a scepter anymore. But his bandana says Macho King, so that...
I was going to say, he's got King on the bandana.
Well, you can't argue with that, then. Yep. Oh, now he's the World as an Entertainment Champion, according to the closed captioning.
Yep. Oh, good God.
Yep. Let's see.
Get out of there, guys.
Now, Sean Mooney, you might want to get out of the way in case the Ultimate Warrior is actually trying to beat down the door.
Yeah. And you don't want to cover up that poster with the L.A. Coliseum on it.
Nope. Yeah, of course they have a poster with the L.A. Coliseum on it in the Miami Arena. That makes all kinds of sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Oh, they've got a phone on the desk, so, you know. Yeah. I don't know why.
In case like Jack Tunney needs to make an emergency proclamation.
That's it. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm guessing Jack Tunney hasn't seen the show at all, given the fact that, you know, he hasn't done anything about any of the. Never mind.
Yeah, that's very true. Yep. He's asleep at the job here.
Right. Okay, check out what happened. Scary Sherry comes down and. Okay, Roddy.
Why is Roddy wearing wrist tape? Is that really necessary?
Well, you know, he might be called. I mean, he might be in the rubble, for all I know.
You always bring your gear.
Yeah, that's right. Always bring your gear. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Grill the Monsoon. Yep, he's wearing tights underneath.
Oh, yeah, he's all set.
He's ready.
All right, so Slaughter and Adnan. Yes, they're celebrating. It's a party going on here.
Wow. Looking at General Adnan, Jerry Stiller really is one hell of an actor.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. That guy can play anything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why is the... Okay, so the belt has a purple strap? I totally don't remember that.
Yeah, the Ultimate Warrior was doing all that stupid stuff with the strap.
I'm wondering if they're going to sell the Ultimate Warrior Spinner Belt. No?
The Ultimate Warrior Spinner Belt.
Well, if John Cena had a spinner belt, why wouldn't the Ultimate Warrior have one? Didn't they have custom belts for everyone? They don't.
You're asking me, man.
No.
Look at the outrage on Mean Gene's face.
He's just disgusted.
That's right.
Completely disgusted. Does Sergeant Slaughter get to make the belt, make it an Iraqi belt?
Yeah, like the three colors or.
Yeah, I know.
At camouflage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's going to. Yeah, so I think they were. I remember one of the run ups to this. They said they were going to win the title and then they were going to present it to Saddam Hussein personally.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that happened.
I don't think it did either. It's probably for the best.
Yes. All right. Well, Adnan's just great here.
He really is.
Okay.
He genuinely looks like he's that happy. That's actually some pretty good acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the stories Adnan's book that he's proud about is they brought Hogan in. And they didn't tell him what they were going in. And they brought Adnan in the room in the Saddam Hussein type gear. And Hogan thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He was like, I guess
I got Hogan on board real quick. Then.
Oh, yeah. The ultimate. Okay, here we go. The closed captioning, I think, is about is about a minute behind right now. Imagine the poor closed captioner actually transcribing all of this.
I know. Good God.
All right, here we go. Who's going to win the Royal Rumble?
Oh, I forgot about this.
Who's going to win the Royal Rumble? Let's find out. Oh, no, these are messages for our brave men and women in the armed forces. What would you like to say to our brave men and women in the armed forces? Yep. Well, God bless you. Yes. Come home soon.
Thank you for defending my right to watch terrible wrestling.
Yes. Well, are they doing this on the Armed Forces? Had they started doing this on the Armed Forces Network yet?
Oh, heck if I know.
They did it later on. I know they started putting the pay-per-views on Armed Forces Network at some point after this. Oh, yeah. Come back home soon.
There were a lot of bad mustaches in 1992.
Evidently, 91, yeah.
No, thank you, yeah.
Yes. Well.
I'm sure we had turned the corner in bad facial hair by 1992.
Yes. Well, if we see Ron Burgundy in this segment, then we'll know.
That's right.
Best of luck. Okay. Hey, I wish you guys... good luck. Okay. They all gave their names, and yeah. So I'm guessing they cut out the ones that were didn't feel appropriate.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, that was heartwarming.
That was right. Educational. Yes.
That's right. Hot Rod does not look pleased.
Oh my goodness, Hulk Hogan's going out on the road to the military bases and going to Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Well, I mean, just think about it. I mean, I can't remember. I mean, I can't remember the last time a wrestler went to Saudi Arabia. I mean, goodness. Yeah, imagine that.
Hope he doesn't get stuck on the tarmac.
No, he'll get a private jet. Okay.
I know I said this last week, but good Lord, I love Roddy's hair.
Oh, yeah. It's just fantastic.
Just magnificent.
It's magnificent. All right. Yes. Thank you. Okay. So we had to, yes. Have we talked about how much we love America? Okay, great. Oh, now let's hear from some of the participants of the Royal Rumble. Jake the Snake. There we go. Jake. Yeah, he hasn't turned heel yet, but he is, you know.
Jake is Jake. I love a promo.
Yeah. There we go. It's the earthquake. So Jake was talking about going after Rick Martel. And Quake is, yeah. Quake's coming for Hogan, of course.
Makes sense.
Okay. And Greg Valentine's here. Yep. Right.
What are the Hammer's goals for the evening?
Let's see. You know, basically stop off at the liquor store on the way after the program. Yeah. I mean, Greg Valentine was married to Medusa. This was a thing that happened.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, and I mean, his first wife, I think we saw her on Tuesday Night Titans, and you know, she wasn't hideous. I mean, she was, you know, she was a lovely woman, and you know, Greg Valentine, he's a big wrestling star.
He certainly was for a very long time.
Oh, what a rush. And there he is, Brother Love and The Undertaker. Now, this just makes the whole show worthwhile, doesn't it?
Really kind of does.
Yeah. They'll be resting in peace. Ah.
Oh, dear.
The winner of the first Royal Rumble is here.
Oh, that's right. He did win the first one, did he?
Yep, back in the archives, Royal Rumble 88. You can listen to us cover that on our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. All right, but there's Duggan. There's the model. There you go.
There's my guy. Yep.
Tremendous physique there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. He's going to throw everybody over the top. Yeah, he's going to end up, 91. Let's see. Yeah, he's still feuding with Jake. Uh-huh. All right. There he is.
Yeah.
Davey Boy Smith.
They would have that big blindfold match in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Davey Boy feuding with the Warlord, if I remember correctly. And there's Mr. Perfect.
Yes. He would start feuding with Boss Man, or he was already?
Yeah. Boss Man's coming through Bobby Heenan's guys, and yeah, he's going to go. Yeah, he's coming for Perfect, yes.
Sure.
Mr. Perfect came close to winning the 90 Rumble, so. Oh, there's the tugboat.
Are we going to hear from all 30 men?
Well, why not?
I can think of a few reasons.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think when they did the 7-hour rumbles, you'd think you'd hear from all 30 men.
Yeah, for real.
Well, but then they would have had to tell us who the people in the rumble were, and that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, that would have been a pain.
Virgil dumped DiBiase. Well, that sign of that. Well, it's funny that that person should have the sign up.
Yeah.
Because we're about to have a tag team match, Ken.
Well, are we now?
Yes, we are. This is a big match here to wrap up this week's episode of Way Back Playback.
Yep. Can hardly wait.
It is Dusty Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes against Ted DiBiase and Virgil. Yep.
I have no recollection of this match whatsoever.
Well, do you recollect the feud between Dusty and Ted DiBiase?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. So they made it a tag match.
Okay. Right. For the life of me, I don't remember this match ever happening.
Yep. Okay.
How much camera time has Rowdy Roddy Piper been given tonight?
I guess he gets paid by the number of seconds he's on camera.
I guess so. Good for him.
Yep. All right. Yep. Ha, ha, ha. How is Virgil going to be in the ring? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. Yes. So he's been humiliating Virgil over the past several weeks. Yep. Yes. Yep.
Simple storytelling, way WWE.
Virgil does what I. You know, why does Virgil have to do all this degrading stuff? Because I pay him. Yeah. 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 Well, and I mean, depending on how much he pays him, you know, maybe he's got a point. I don't know. Yeah. Money is, the bond of money is thicker than the bond of blood. Well, that's what, that's what Vince McMahon has based his career on, so sure.
I think that was Rule of Acquisition 234.
From the Ferengi? Yes, absolutely. Oh, here they are. Dusty and Dustin. Now, yeah, at this point, people in the industry know that Dusty is going back to WCW after this. So
I have absolutely zero recollection of this ever happening.
Well, then, if you haven't seen it, it's new to you, folks.
I don't even remember Dustin in the WWF at this point.
Well, I mean, part of the setup was, you know, Dustin was in the crowd and Ted DiBiase and Virgil, you know, got hold of him and started beating on him and Dusty had to leave his match to come out and make the save. Hmm. Here they are. The Million Dollar Man and Virgil. And I'm pretty sure you can go back into the podcast feed and you can find where Jim and I covered WrestleMania 7. So if you want to, you know, go to see how this ends up. All right, there they are.
I'm just hoping that young man, Dustin Rhodes, maybe he'll have a future in wrestling. Maybe his career can last a few years.
Yeah. You never know with this second generation guys, but it's certainly possible. So, Ken, why don't you tell us about Ken and Tex Petcare of Bangor, Maine, as we get started here on this matchup?
Absolutely. I would love to. Ken and Tex Petcare of Bangor, Maine, of course, run by me, Ken Banks. Mm-hmm. You can find us online, KenandTek, kenandtech.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. The primary purpose of my job is dog walking. I do roughly 9 or 10 hours of dog walking every workday, Monday through Friday. I also do a lot of overnight pet sitting as well. I'm actually doing that tonight as we record this. I have four very disinterested dogs sleeping at my feet. I provide a great deal of services for the pet owners in the greater Bangor, Maine area. It's the greatest joy in my life. It's the thing in my life of which I'm the most proud. So even if you have no usage for my services, check me out online, see some cute pictures. It's a great way to spend your time.
Canon Tech's Pet Care, Bangerman, KENANDTEK.com. All right,
got it.
Back to live action. DiBiase is bossing Virgil around. Funny how Virgil never seemed to mind this in the previous 3 years of, you know, but.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I mean, you
know, we all have our. Yeah. I was just going to say, we all have our breaking point.
Right. I mean, Ken became his own boss, so. Why not? That's right. Why not Virgil?
And oddly enough, before I started my own business, I actually left my previous job right before that by smacking my boss in the head with a $1 million belt.
Oh wow! Cool.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, all right. There's the drop kick. Okay.
That was how Virgil turned on DiBiase, right? Didn't he smack him with the belt? Or am I creating?
I think that we're going to see that in about 10 minutes or so.
Oh, that happens here.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I guess I do have some memory of the thing.
Well, when they showed all the footage leading up to this, leading up to WrestleMania 7, they showed, Virgil leaving DiBiase, but they never showed highlights of the actual match because Dusty and Dustin were at it.
Okay.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Up and over. Oh, there we go.
Boy, Dustin was smooth even then, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. I think, he's coming to his own. I think the natural Dustin Rhodes was, never the perfect gimmick for him, but now he seems very comfortable out there. Actually, now that you think about it, the past 20 years or so, it's been Dustin's. He had a bad patch when he was in TNA, but. And everything from him teaming to Booker T, his in-ring stuff was great.
To be fair, a lot of guys had a bad match in the TNA.
Yeah, they do. Ken, can you get close? Yeah, need you to get closer to the mic or something.
Yep, sorry about that.
Thank you.
I got lost in the folds of my hooded sweatshirt.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah. Well, somebody dressed as Sapphire in the crowd, I think. It looks like polka dots, anyway. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I don't ever remember Dusty competing in the WWF without the polka dots.
Well, I guess this for his farewell. I guess they let him do it.
They were like, "Here, look somewhat dignified on the way out."
I don't think they cared.
Yeah.
Like, here, go back to WCW and see if you can ruin it worse than the last Booker.
That's right.
Oh my gosh! All right. Oh, there's the big fist drop. Ah, ha 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 ha.
DiBiase's stuff looked so good.
Yep, always.
Yep. What a worker that guy was.
$1 million belt, a great gimmick.
Absolutely. And he got to fly in first class all the time and drive around with limbs.
Yeah, that would have been the best part of the gimmick.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. DiBiase, I remember his torch talk, and Vince is like, "I got so much heat," and Ted says he's thinking, "Yeah, I'm gonna get heat with all the other boys who don't get to travel first class, don't get limo service, But Ted shared the wealth, I guess, and he was still considered popular, in house. He was one of the guys. There we go.
And Dusty's offense looks good tonight too.
Yep. I mean, there's no
as good. Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
As good as Dusty's going to look in 1990. Yes. I'm sorry.
I was going to say as good as that goofy ass elbow can possibly look, but
I mean, this is Dusty's last, what he thinks is his last match in WWF. It's not like he's not going to try out there.
Sure.
Plus, but I think he's decided the match would be about, you know, showcasing Dustin.
So where was Dustin wrestling before this?
He was actually, he had spent the past year in the WWF, basically doing like undercard stuff and, you know, working house shows. They didn't really use him on TV much.
I was not aware of this. I've learned something tonight.
Yep.
I thought for all intents and purposes, I thought his career began in WCW on television.
Well, it kind of did. You want to go back, but that was back in like late 1988 when Dusty was still booking. He and I want to say Kendall Windham were a tag team. Were a tag team that were called, I think they called them the Colts or something like that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and they just explained, you know, who they were. Yeah. Of course, that didn't make sense because Dusty and Barry Windham were feuding, but it's WCW, and really, you know, what do you expect?
Who was really keeping track?
Yeah, it just made no sense. All right. Hey. Oh, Virgil.
Virgil had one heck of a physique for 1991 wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously had the idea that he was going to be when they turned babyface, that he was going to be something. And
sure.
Yeah.
He was something, all right.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I thought it got over, but once the feud with DiBiase ended, that was, you know, that was that.
Right. He is, however, a wrestling superstar, I've been told.
Yeah, Soul Man Jones, yeah. I did appreciate AEW doing that, doing their, Jericho doing his bit, their bit with him.
Yeah, that was cute. Yes. They did the guy a solid, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Boom. And then he was Curly Bill in WCW.
Curly Bill.
When he was part of the West Texas Rednecks.
Oh, good God. Okay.
Never mind. You didn't want to remember that, did you?
I really did not.
Oh, no. Accidentally clotheslined his boss. Like, crap. We're going to lose this match. Come on, you can do it.
You hate to see that. You hate to see this happen.
Oh, no. Well, this is what happened. Well, no wonder. DiBiase's beating the crap out of Virgil. You know, I mean, that's DiBiase's own fault if he can't keep his focus during the match. And here comes Dusty. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Daddy. Here we go.
And it always comes down to the boss anyway. If anything goes wrong in the workplace, it's the boss who has not created a safe working environment. He got him with a roll-up. Wow.
Yeah. And Dusty disappears. And I mean disappears. Oh, there we go. Well, no, I guess he doesn't. He's checking on Dustin. Okay. Yeah, but he's definitely he's definitely away from this.
Yeah, wow. He beat him clean in the middle with a roll-up.
Well, Dusty's leaving.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Doing the honors on the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually did give him an out. Hey, he was worried about his son here. He wasn't paying attention to the match or something like that. Oh, man. And everybody,
fans are solidly behind Virgil.
Yep, they are. Right. Everybody has a price. Right. That, I mean, this is the first time we'd seen DiBiase, you know, punch Virgil.
Yeah.
There's the Virgil chance.
I bet you these two can work it out.
That's right. They've known each other so long.
They each had a chance to blow off some steam. They'll get through this.
They won the match. I mean, that's what counts, right? They have the winner's share of the purse.
That's, you beat me to it.
Money talks. All right.
Virgil actually has some halfway decent understated acting here.
Yeah, this is the part I remember going well. I mean, he's got the facial expressions I like, you know.
Yeah, he's not overdoing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I mean, that's, yeah. And I mean, they've been building this up for weeks going into this, so. Yep. All right. Yep. All right, now just put it on me. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And Virgil's hesitating. Oh, there we go.
Oh, wow.
Drink to the back of the head. DiBiase doesn't even turn around. I love that.
No, he doesn't. What a professional.
Always was. Virgil's family, Virgil, yeah. Let me remind you about your family and your mother. Oh, my goodness.
That's out of line, Ted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Roddy's yelling at him, do it! Come on, Virgil! Stand up for yourself! Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, Roddy was going to teach him how to box after this or something. Yeah.
That comes the point, yeah. There we go.
Again, really simple. Nothing overly convoluted. Right. They didn't get too cute about anything. No, it was just
that's just the way it should be. Yep. I mean, not everything has to be a shocking swerve. Not everything has to be dragged out. Yeah. You know. I mean, they would have dragged this out over like a 3-hour Raw. You know, this turn.
That's right.
I mean, I think that's part of the problem. Yep. You just have so much stuff to fill, and you know, that you can't pay attention to the, you know, you can't pay attention to the details, or you can't let something, you can't let anything breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then again, they had TV shows that were nothing but squash matches. So.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right, here we go. There's Hulk Hogan, folks. Oh, hold on. Okay. And this will be where we wrap it up for the week after this.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yep. I guess Hulk Hogan is the favorite to win this Royal Rumble. Do you think?
Maybe. Can't imagine why.
Well, he won the previous year's Royal Rumble. So the previous Royal Rumble winners, this is the fourth Rumble, are Jim Duggan, Big John Studd, who is not here, and Hulk Hogan.
Hmm.
He doesn't care about the other people in this match. He's dedicating the victory to all of the boys over there in the Persian Gulf. Aw. Yeah. And to our allies. Well, that's actually thoughtful.
Yeah. That kind of actually is thoughtful.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not saying, yeah, and all our allies, you know, you got to pay your fair share of this invasion, folks.
Oh, goodness.
Yep. Okay. All right. He's being told that Sergeant Slaughter has just defaced the American flag somewhere in the building. They're not gonna show it because, you know, an unconfirmed report that Sergeant Slaughter has defaced the flag.
That's very clever on their part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that seems silly because there's no way that, like, any reporter would go on the air with some unconfirmed rumor or some, you know, half-assed speculation. I mean, that's not journalism.
That is not journalism. You are correct.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Okay, that's it, folks. All right, we're going to put a stop to it. 1 hour, 56 minutes, and 45 seconds.
Outstanding.
That is the end of this episode.
Hello, my name's Jamie Irwin, and I host the podcast What's Your Favorite on the Creative Control Network. Join me as I ask a different guest each week about all their favorite things. Favorite band, film, song, food, drink, animal, season, TV show, book, and much more. You can find What's Your Favorite with Jamie Irwin by searching on all your favorite podcast apps. So subscribe today and check out what might be your new favorite podcast, What's Your Favorite. Did I just say the word favorite enough times? Yeah.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com. All right, so we're going to come back, and next week's episode is the Royal Rumble, the 1991 Royal Rumble, and just the Royal Rumble. I mean, that's it. That's definitely long enough. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ken.
No, I was just going to say that's enough tofu for any meal. The Royal Rumble, you kidding me? That's all we need.
That is it. And you know, we want Jim Valley back as soon as possible, fully healthy. And, keep Jim in your thoughts and prayers, everybody. It's not that I don't enjoy doing this with Ken. It's not that Ken doesn't enjoy being here, but, show's different without Jim. And,
we all know I'm just keeping his seat warm for real. Like,
I mean, yeah, pretty much. and that's not a knock on you, Ken. You're doing a fine job. But plus, you know, we did guest host, but we're not like cut out. This show is not cut out for like, you know, 10 straight weeks of getting a new guest host in every week.
It really is not. This podcast is about Jim and Pat. That's the way it should be, and that's the way I hope it is again soon.
And obviously Ken will be back on there at some point. Of course, let's see. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. Ken doesn't like being on Twitter, but you can find Ken on Facebook and Instagram at Ken and Tech.
At Ken and Tech, you got it.
That's how he likes to be found. That's how he likes to roll. And, of course, you can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for this program over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get this program from. And, by the way, if you'd like to know more about Dustin Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, Virgil, Ted DiBiase, or the Mountie, you can go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, with the Wrestling Observer. You could go down to your local library, well, if you live in like 6 or 7 states. Otherwise, it's going to be closed. Ken?
Absolutely. Gotta join us again next week. You know where to find it. Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, it is the 1991 Royal Rumble, and everybody's got to start thinking up what they want to do, what they want us to do for episode 316, which is coming up in 2 weeks. I can't imagine what people would want us to cover on episode 316, Ken. But until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.